People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Yes, it is.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yes, they can. Welcome to the program. I am the Ron Van Dam person in the Ron Van Dam Show. My name is in the title. I didn't want any confusion here, so we made it quite obvious. I hope someday you have your own show, in which case I won't listen to you either. Thanks for clicking on me. I was just walking around, all of a sudden I felt clicked on. Or thanks for tuning me in on your radio station. All of a sudden I realized I better start doing the show. It's the Friday weekend edition, which is a little more expensive than the regular weekday edition. Although you pay absolutely nothing, sponsors do, so who's stupid now? All right, that's enough. That'll be quite enough. That's enough. How you doing? How you mentally putting up with all this stuff, huh? Not well, I know. Yeah, it's going to be a long haul, ladies and gentlemen. First, we thought that this thing would go away in the summer when the weather got warmer. That didn't happen, Donald. Then we thought this thing will play itself out and it'll lose its strength. That didn't happen. Then we thought we would have this thing licked by the start of the school year. That didn't happen. Now we think we can come up with a vaccine by election day. Oddly enough, Trump thinks that a day before election day, we may be able to come up with a vaccine. Timing is everything, Don. That ain't going to happen. Supposed to be by the end of the calendar year. Questionable now. They think this could go on for a period of time that I don't even want to talk about. So here's the bottom line, and then I'll do the show. I'll do it because this is a comedy show. I'll do the comedy show. But first, I'll be very straightforward. Wear your freaking mask. It has been proven beyond shadows of all doubts that if everybody wore a mask in public and stayed 6 feet apart in public and didn't have large gatherings, this thing would be not so bad and workable. It's not workable now. Kids are going back to school, universities, colleges, classrooms for public school. Ain't going to work out. So we got to do this all together, every single one of us, every single one of us. If they close down colleges and schools and send the kids home, especially college kids, you're going to infect everybody in the family. Hope you love your loved ones. I mean, you know, let's do this right, man. If we did it right, it wouldn't be so bad, okay? All right, I'm going to move on. Sorry, I had to get that in. I see people walking around, especially in the south part of this country, oblivious like nothing's happening. All right. Hi. I was watching Judge Judy yesterday. I like Judge Judy. If I ever did anything wrong legally or I wanted to sue somebody, I would never go before her because she's a bitch. She's an entertainment. She's an entertainment bitch. And she's just awful to the litigants. She insults them. She judges them based on personality. She's awful, but very entertaining. So I'm watching the Judge Judy show, and one of the litigants says, and she says, you know, in this auto accident, were you at fault? And the plaintiff says, well, I'm not going to lie. I can't lie. it's such a stupid expression. If someone's asking you a question, you don't preface your answer by saying, "This time, I'm not going to lie." Or they say things like, "I swear on my mother's grave." I don't know that that's true. You swear on your mother's grave. She would want you to lie. She doesn't want you to get in trouble. All this stuff makes no sense. If you preface something, then I know something's wrong. And you're saying, "Ron, if I preface something, I must really mean it." Now, if you really mean it, you wouldn't preface it. The other thing that people say, which really drives me nuts, man. You ask them a question like, when did you move into that apartment? Let me see. I want to say October, but I can't because my mouth doesn't operate properly. I want to say October, but I can't say October. I want to say it, but for some reason I can't say it. I don't know what's wrong with me. I want to say October. I'll say August, but I want to say October. I don't know why I can't say October. How old are you? I want to say I'm 37, but I can't lie. I can't lie. Stop it. Just answer the damn question and get on with your life. Stop with these preambles to the Constitution here. I mean, man, come on. All right. That's enough. That's enough of that. I have some great guests coming up at the end of the program. I shove them at the end because, you know, it's where they deserve to be shoved to the end. When you shove something, you don't shove it up front. You shove it in the back. Yeah. When you shovel crap and you shovel snow, you don't shovel it in front of you, so you have to shovel it again. You shovel it behind you. So you shovel things back. I got to admit, I'm a procrastinator. Do you know what that means? I put things off. I wait until my back is against the wall, and then I perform incredibly. I don't perform well when I plan ahead of time. I really don't. I was horrible at homework. Oh, my teachers used to love to load me with homework. They'd make me sit in the classroom and just twiddle my thumbs and look at the clock. And then when the class was over, the teacher would send me home with homework. I said, why don't you give me work while I'm sitting here in the damn classroom so I can go home and watch TV? No, Ron, we're just going to keep you in the classroom. Then we're going to send you home. And then you're going to do work all night. Screw you. Anyway, I hated homework. And if there was a book report to do, Ron, we want you to report on a book. What? What do you mean report on it? Want me to do a report on a book? Isn't the book a report in itself? Ron, I want to make sure you read the book. I can't lie. I read the book. I want to say I read it. I don't mind reading. I don't like to be told what to read. When I was in school, they made us all read Catcher in the Rye. And I thought, well, that sounds like an alcoholic. No, Ron, it's not rye. No, it's not the alcoholic rye. To be honest with you, don't remember. I read these books, didn't care for them, don't remember them. I had to read Catcher in the Rye. And I couldn't make it. A lot of people can't make it past the first page. I couldn't make it past the first word. It was just so, it was because someone told me to. If I saw the book and said to myself, "Whoa, a book about an alcoholic, that sounds interesting," I would have picked it up and I would have read the thing through, probably. But for a teacher to tell me, "You will read the book and you will report on it to me, I want a full report on my desk, otherwise you're fired. I want a report." What is this, a military institution here? You want a report? Get a report yourself. Ask Betsy, who sits behind me, straight A student. She'll give you a report if you're that interested. Me, I don't report on books. This really is. It's a stupid thing to do. So I would get homework, read the book, do a report on it, and get the report to your paper so that you can be a reporter. So I would, other classmates, they'd go right home and read the book and get it out of the way. I got it done. Now I don't have to worry about it and write the report. I didn't do it that way. When is the thing due? I would ask. When is it due? And the teacher would say, I can't lie. I want to say it's due Friday. Friday, you say. That means I don't have to read it until 3 o'clock in the morning on Thursday night. Before I go to bed, I'll read the book and then I'll report on it in the morning. Ron, you can't do a book report in like 3 hours and read the book and everything. Oh, really? I think I can. I procrastinated. The few times that I did the thing ahead of time, I would write the report, and then like a couple of days later, I'm not happy with the report. I got to rewrite it anyway. So why do it so early? If you have an opportunity to change it, why just wait until the very end and just do it? So I was a procrastinator. I even joined, when I got older, I joined Procrastinators Anonymous there. It was a club for procrastinators. And we never did come up with a date. We just kept putting it off. We never had the meeting. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Nah, I hated homework. Oh, my God. And now all kids have is homework. That's all there is. There's nothing in school, so it's just everything's homework now. I never liked to mix business and pleasure. To me, school was business. Pleasure was not being there. Is being out of, I did not like school. I was a horrible, horrible student. Not that I was stupid or didn't do okay in school. I just was a horrible person to deal with in school. I just never did what they told me to do. It was awful. And fortunately, I had two things going for me when I was in grade school. One, my last name is Van Damme. Did you know that? Check the title of the program. That begins with a V for all of those that don't understand the alphabet. V is at the end of the alphabet. There isn't much after V going on. So if you're going to set up the room alphabetically, I'm all the way in the back. I'm like 2 miles away from the front of the classroom. I'm in the back. I don't even have to wear pants back there. Nobody can even see me. Nobody ever turns around. If a classmate turned around and looked toward the back of the room, the teacher would scold him and say, face forward. Hey, you, face forward. And no gum chewing. Don't look at Van Damme. He's in the back. Don't ever turn around. Don't do that. That's one thing I had going for me. I could screw around in the back, and sometimes they wouldn't see me fooling around back there. The other thing was, I was tall. When I was in the public school, I was the tallest kid in the class. As I stand today, I'm 6'3". I think I was a little bit taller back then even. I was extremely skinny, very tall. I was a flagpole. So I sat in the back of the room so I wouldn't block the view of the other fortunate children. So I'm in the back of the room no matter what. And that saved my life. There was one year that this smart-ass teacher decided, well, I'm going to shift things around. Halfway through the semester, the trimester, as you're all pregnant, obviously, we're going to switch. Everybody in the back of the room is going to sit in the front, and everybody in the front of the room is going to sit in the back. By the way, you don't have to say the second part of that. Everybody in the back of the room is going to sit in the front. The supposition is the people in the front are going to sit in the back. You don't have to say the second part. So that's what happened. I sat in the first row. That was pure, unadulterated hell. I couldn't breathe. I was just too close to the front. All the teaching was in my face. I wasn't used to that. It was like I couldn't look away. And My teacher was not an attractive person. It wasn't easy to look at this person. so close. And I kept wondering, are the people sitting behind me just staring at the back of my head? I became very conscious of the back of my head all of a sudden. And it's true, everybody does stare at the back of your head when you sit in the front. There's no question about it. You better comb your hair properly at all times. It was awful. Not only that, but if your eyes wandered, the teacher could see your eyes wandering, and then they would specifically point you out and ask you questions. Yes, the square root of 117 is, Mr. Van Dam. Oh, Jesus. This is because I'm sitting in the front, isn't it? I want to say six. I want to say six. Yeah, that didn't work out. Me being in the front of the, it was just absolutely awful. It was horrible. I didn't like school. I didn't like being confined. It was like being in a cage. It was like coming from Guatemala or Mexico and Trump puts you in a cage because you don't have a card with you. Felt like that. It was awful. I was restricted. I thought that if I sat in the front of the class that I'd be able to set up a special relationship with the teacher. And I was right, I did. We hated each other. We didn't get along. I was the class clown. I even wore makeup and floppy shoes. I wanted to make sure everybody knew I was the class clown. Anytime something was punnable or someone said something that I could make a joke out of, I did. Yeah. I was popular in school for that reason. I was part of the drama club until I got older and I realized what that means. Those are all the people that make a big thing out of something. That person's got too much drama. It's a drama queen. That's all. I can't tolerate this drama. You're such, everything's drama with you. Yeah, school was weird. I remember celebrating when I graduated high school. I celebrated like you wouldn't believe. It was a mental celebration. I actually, it was like I had been in prison for something that I didn't do. And they said, all right, Ron, we're going to release you now. And the prison doors opened and I walked outside and I could see the sunshine and freedom. That's what I felt like when I graduated from high school. College. I went to college. It's not like school. You go if you want to. You don't if you don't. I had a pass-fail situation. I went to New York University, Greenwich Village, and everything was pass-fail. All I had to do was make sure I passed. Not a big thing, not a big deal. And I learned probably more from life than I did from any classroom ever. Here's a funny part about school, especially grade school. The teacher calls you by your last name as if you're an adult. They don't treat you like an adult, but they call you like one. Instead of the teacher asking me a question, and what is the square root of 117? Ron? It would never say Ron. It would always be my last name. What is the square root of 117? Anybody know? Mr. Van Dam? What are you talking? I'm 10 years old. Why are you calling me Mr. Van Dam? Were we in a boardroom or something? Mr. Van Dam? What? Apparently they're trying to groom you for adulthood. In adulthood, they don't call me Mr. Van Dam either. The only time they call you Mr. Van Dam is when you're in court or you've done something wrong or you're at the IRS or the motor vehicle department. Otherwise, not a lot. Mr. Van Dam. I was insulted when I went into convenience stores and they said, how can I help you, sir? And I said, look, first of all, I'm not sir. Just say, how can I help you? You don't have to put sir after that. I started feeling old at that point when I was addressed as sir or Mr. Van Dam. Oh, my God. Don't do that. Don't do that. I know I'm getting old. I don't need to be reminded. And it's not my age that reminds me that I'm getting old. You know how you can tell if you're getting old? And other people can't really see these, but you know they're there. When you start getting bumps, that's right, that's how you know. When you start getting skin tags, when all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and there's a bump on your leg. Wait a minute, is this cancer? I've got a bump in my leg. No, you're just getting old. You're starting to get bumps. You're starting to get little fat cells developing. What is this strange marking on my arm? What is this strange thing here? No, you're just getting old. Things are starting to come up that didn't come up before. Hair is starting to grow out of your ear. What? That never happened before. I'm losing the hair on the top of my head, but my ears are doing very well. I gotta go get my ears groomed. Nose hairs growing out of control. I've got one of my nose hairs down to my knee. I refuse to cut it because it's a hair. I want to nurture my hair. Happens to be coming out of my nose. Where is this stuff coming from? Why is it growing in the wrong place? It's because you're getting old. It's out of control, Ron. I mean, Mr. Van Dam. Yeah, I know. All right, I have a guest coming up. And we're going to speak to our guest right after we take a little commercial break.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water, Aquamira, contains only the finest hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques.
Aquamira.
Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aquamira.
Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Dean Sonderegger joins us now. And we're talking about the pandemic as it relates to the law profession, the legal profession. I've never really put the two together. Has there been an incredible slowdown there?
Yeah, you know, what you've seen is, I think, an acceleration of the trends that you've seen, which is, I think, what you've seen in a lot of the world is just an acceleration of trends. So, yeah, there's been a slowdown. Everybody has worked from home now. Nobody is in the office. And you've seen reduced demand for things such as divorces and more retail types of law. But at the same time, you see companies starting to go into restructuring and bankruptcy. So you see an acceleration of some of those types of practice areas, if you will.
I can imagine. That profession, other than going into a courtroom, I assume can be done virtually. People don't have to necessarily meet. All they have to do is really communicate. So I guess that's worked out in that sense. But how does the legal profession handle the in-person courtroom situations?
Yeah, that's really been something on hold in a lot of cases. And courts are being forced to move forward with more electronic access.
Uh-huh.
Than they had in the past, which I think is a great thing. I think if you think about what you and I probably get into in something like small claims court, one could argue, is there a reason why we have to be there in person?
Right.
To go spend an hour, several hours to spend 5 minutes in front of a judge that's
going to
then tell us to talk to the other party and work it out.
Exactly.
So that is something that's been accelerated moving forward, which is great to see.
Do you think, Dean, that a lot of these situations, when things get back to quote-unquote normal, that they will stay in this different technology mode and not necessarily go full guns back to the way they were in that profession?
Yeah, I think it's like toothpaste when squeezed out of the tooth and doesn't go back in,
right?
Yeah. So I think that you're going to be in a situation where we as a society are working from home more and have to deal with the issues of remote access, and I think that that's true of the courts also.
Yeah. I bet you're seeing a lot of lawsuits against travel insurance companies because it seems like everybody who had planned a trip is in some kind of litigation trying to get their money.
you see insurance between businesses and their insurers also is the loss of revenue that's associated with the pandemic, something that's insurable or not. Right now the courts are coming down on the side of the insurers more than they are on the side of the insured, if you will.
Really?
But you also see a lot of employment law issues. You say, if I work from home, am I required to be reimbursed? Am I supposed to be reimbursed for things like internet and telephone? Can you make me come back into the office if I don't feel like it, if I feel like my health is at risk? And so there's going to be a host of employment law issues that come out of this also.
Very interesting. Yeah, it seems like everything would be, I mean, right now we're going through the school situation where a lot of teachers, they want to be employed, but they find it could be dangerous to be in that situation. I assume that, and what if they do get sick inside of a school when they didn't want to go? I mean, does this open a Pandora's box here?
Yeah, I think that you're going to see a fair amount of litigation around this. Mm-hmm. And I think that you'll see some policy come out of this also at the state and local level, potentially at the federal level. And you see this, you're absolutely right, you see this at primary school, you see it at universities right now, where students are coming back to school, and professors having to adopt to very different ways of teaching as well. So an ongoing and probably sustained set of changes that are going to occur, but there's legal implications around many of these things.
Has the legal profession actually seen a rise in requests for cases and for lawsuits accordingly?
I think you're starting to see that rise. Obviously, the courts have been shut down in large part for a period of time and are just starting to come back to life at this point.
Yeah.
The biggest set of activities that you're seeing right now in the courts is bankruptcy and restructuring.
I understand.
People go out of business and look for relief on paying debt.
Right. But these can be virtually handled. How do you handle a jury situation?
I don't have a great answer for that at this point in time.
Okay.
I think that those are things that people are going to have to figure out as things move forward. Because it's great. Great question. You know, how does one deliberate in a secure fashion when you're in your house? You can't very much sequester people. I guess we're all, to some extent, sequestered right now.
Really?
you can't really sequester people the way you would with a normal jury trial.
Well, I don't know. They tell them to go home and don't talk to anybody about it, and supposedly they're not supposed to. So I guess, you know, there's a lot of trust going on there.
Sure.
Yeah. What if we have more questions about the subject matter? Where would we go for that?
Yeah, so I think that we have a whole survey called Future Ready Lawyer that my company, Walters Kluwer, has done.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way to get to that is to simply go to Google, type in Future Ready Lawyer. We pop up as the first subject, and it's a great read, and I recommend everybody go download it.
Okay, Future Ready Lawyer. Excellent. Dean, thank you so much for your time today. It's been fascinating.
Hey, great talking to you, Ron. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, now listen to me. It's Labor Day weekend. It's a long weekend. Please, do this responsibly. Be careful. Distance yourself. Do it right. Let's not make Labor Day a super spreader. Yeah, there's a new word, huh? Super spreader. I used to think that was something you bought at Home Depot, and it would spray fertilizer all over your lawn. That would be a super spreader to me. But no, that's not what that means anymore. It's going to happen. People are going to have parties, they're going to have drinks and get a little too familiar with each other, and things are going to happen. But please, don't you be one of them. This is a time for respect to not only yourself, but to other people. So please, that's my message to you. And vote. Have yourselves a wonderful time, responsibly, and I wish you peace.